Now let us turn to Matthew chapter 18 and particularly the words we have in verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18 and verse 1. Now, this is what is called often the parable of the unjust judge. And I don't think that is what it should be called. It should be called the parable of the persistent or importunate widow. And it is from her that we learn the lessons of this parable. And they are, of course, to do with prayer. Now, through hearty spiritual activity, it is not easy for us. We are so prone to distraction, and we are so prone to faint, even in the midst of our prayers. Even in a state of grace, prayer is for us hard work. Cause of the distractions and the sin that is forever with us. Now, I think we could say that prayer, through prayer and the Bible, are connected, because there is a saying, and I think it is very true, that we ought always to pray the promises of God. It is good if we can take one of God's promises, a simple promise, even like, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Even to take that promise into our prayers. And that is certainly a good starting point. But we very easily take for granted that prayer is just there. That it is there to be used by us as we wish. But I think we should look at it in another way. That it is a wonder that we are allowed to pray. It is a wonder that that door is always open to us. And not only open to us, but we are encouraged to pray. Very much encouraged by God. And it is not just permission. It's not just that the Bible permits us to pray, but it encourages us to pray. Because God loves the cry of the sinner. He loves the cry of his own people, but he also loves the cry of the unbeliever, the one who prays, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, it's a very lovely thing we read in the Song of Solomon in chapter 8 and verse 13. Where the Lord says to the believer, thy companions hear thy voice. Let me hear it. Thy companions hear thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Now, that's just such a lovely verse, especially to find in a song like the Song of Solomon, where it speaks so much of the love between the believer and God. both ways. And the Lord say, yes, you are in fellowship, in Christian fellowship, and you enjoy Christian fellowship. And when you are in Christian fellowship, the rest of them, they enjoy you, and they enjoy your words, they enjoy what you say. And that can be the case, you know, and yet find our prayer life to be lacking. Fellowship is great, it's wonderful, but it's not everything. It's not a substitute for prayer. Thy companions, hear thy voice, God says. Cause me to hear it. Then we have the importance of access. That we have a way of access, special way of access, through the name of Jesus Christ. That he is our advocate on high. He is our intercessor. He is the one through whom we pray. He is the access. As we read in Romans chapter 5, these amazing words, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Yes, we stand in the place of grace when we are in prayer, seeking to pray to God through him. And yet, with all these things, there is a great danger that we might drift into familiarity in our prayers. And that is pretty prevalent in much of the church today, an over-familiar approach to God, forgetting that he is holy and that he is exalted, and that we should in his presence, even although we know there is acceptance, even although we pray through the name of Jesus, that we should have reverence, and we should have the fear of God as we pray. And yet we have to say that the more we practice prayer, the more praying we do, that itself is an encouragement to prayer. Prayer is a way, you know, of, as it were, multiplying itself. If we pray and seek to pray more, then we will pray more, and our praying will encourage us to pray more. But let's just pick one or two points out from this parable here. The first thing is that prayer is not an optional extra in the Christian life. Prayer is not an optional extra in the Christian life. Our text says men ought always to pray. It doesn't mean that women are not encouraged to pray, because the word men here simply refers to human beings, to those who need to pray, and that is all human beings. And there's a slight weakness in the translation there, where it says men ought always to pray. The word ought is really quite a soft translation, because in the original it means must pray, indicating necessity. And it also indicates, the word indicates burden. So it's not a case of just, we ought to pray, but we must pray. It's a necessity. It's a burden that is upon us, that we We just neglect that burden if we do not pray. And the other thing is, we hear, can't remember who said it, but I think it was a well-known preacher who said, we speak about praying for the work. And he says, prayer is the work. Prayer is the work of spiritual life. And prayer is work. It is spiritual work. Now, it says that that men ought always to pray. Every person pray. Every pray, man or woman, is a powerhouse, a spiritual powerhouse. And that's something that we should remember, that our prayers are effectual. Our prayers are heard by God. God encourages us to pray. God puts the burden on us to pray. Men ought, men must always pray. Now, pray always. We can pray in the midst of our daily duties, and we should continually. Prayer, flashes of prayer up to heaven. We hear the term flash prayers, but it's real that we can just in the midst of our busyness pray a moment's prayer to heaven. Now, we can pray in leisure, we can pray frequently. And another thing which is a big help in obeying this command to pray, it is that in every life and in every day and in every hour, you can say that there will be something that will trigger prayer. Something that for some reason triggers something to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, something to do with your own needs, something to do with the situation that you are in, but to seek to have things that trigger prayer, to allow things into your mind that trigger prayer. So prayer is not an optional extra, but it is a burden and a necessity. And secondly, we find out from this parable that prayer requires stamina. Prayer requires staying power. Now, if it wasn't for our frailties and for our sin and for the ease with which Satan can distract us, there wouldn't be this need for stamina and for staying power, because we would be able to concentrate. But we must remember this, that not only is God there when we pray, but Satan is always there. He's always there to spoil your prayer, to take your attention away, and to sometimes, I'm sure you find, as I often do, that when I go on my knees, within minutes, even within seconds, my mind is miles and miles away. What happens when that happens to you? Well, here is the struggle in prayer. Here is what needs a stammer. To just keep coming back, to refuse the distraction, to send Satan away and to come back. It doesn't matter if in our prayer that happens continually. But remember, the fight and the battle is in that coming back and back and back again, which Satan hates, but which God loves. Prayer requires stamina. And if it did not, then we wouldn't have this passage in the scripture. There would not be a passage which speaks about fainting in prayer. What we have just been speaking about, that is it. Fainting in prayer. Is there any one of us who says, that doesn't happen to me? I'm sure that there isn't one. And that your prayer patterns will be that kind of thing. As mine are. Yes, you know, Satan makes it difficult for you to get to prayer. Or to get to the place of prayer if there's a place you want to go to. He keeps you back from getting there, and he keeps you back once you get there. The battle is continual, and you need to persist. You need staying power. You must just refuse to faint. And when you faint, you must just regather things together again and get back down to prayer. That is the pattern of our prayer. You mustn't think that there's something wrong. Always remember this. As soon as you go on your knees, Satan knows that's a powerhouse there. I'll need to distract that. I'll need to put some thoughts in, and so it goes. That is the battle. That is the stamina that is required to keep coming back. And I believe that everyone who prays, who really prays, will experience what this means. You know for yourself what it is to faint and faint and faint. Unless you are a person of extraordinary concentration. I've never yet met anybody who told me that they were able to concentrate perfectly in prayer. So, prayer is a powerhouse. A praying person is a powerhouse. And it's not just a powerhouse in the sort of immediate area. But it's like a powerhouse in the world. A cosmic powerhouse. Somebody who is praying to God. We always ought to pray, and we must keep up our stamina. Pray without fainting. And without fainting means something, not giving up. Doesn't mean that you won't get distracted, but it's not giving up. It is coming back and getting back and battling on and keeping up the spiritual stamina. Now, stamina in prayer does not refer to the length of time that we can pray. I really don't think it refers to that at all. Fainting is when you just give up in prayer. Stamina in prayer refers to defeating the loss of focus. Focus is lost. Satan takes it away, but we must refocus and get back to prayer. Stamina is repeatedly pulling back to reality. Prayer is the reality, not Satan. Prayer is the reality, and we must keep on getting back there and on our knees, somehow or other, particularly. Satan is in attendance. Satan is so ready to put thoughts in and to put distractions in. Now, praying has another aspect to it. Sometimes, and this is so convicting, we perhaps get on our knees and we pray. And we get up. You know what we should do then? We should ask ourselves the question, have I prayed? Or has my prayer been prayerless? Spurgeon used to speak about that. Prayerless prayer. And it is so easy. You can have fulfilled the duty according to yourself. But let's try that. Let's try asking ourselves the question, was that a prayer? Have I prayed? And what happens if you get up on your, off your knees and the answer to the question, have I prayed, is no, I haven't prayed. What do? You get back on your knees. You just battle. You just exercise all the stamina, all the spiritual stamina and staying power that you can. If you don't, then Satan will win in prayer. Now, prayer requires persistence. And now, that's what the parable here is all about. It's about persistence in prayer. The unjust judge, or as we should call it, the persistent widow. The parable requires a bit of explanation, of course. It is an unusual parable and an illustration which could only be used by the Lord himself. The unjust judge here stands for God. But God is a righteous judge. God is not an unjust judge. And in him there is no variable, there is neither shadow of turning. So, why would the Lord himself use this illustration for a parable? As I say and I emphasize, it's something so unusual that only the Lord himself could pray this prayer. Use this illustration. Why does he use it? He uses it in order to place the parable, the illustration, in the background of ordinary life. In life in general, perhaps more so in those days than in our day, They were unjust judges. And they were there, and this unjust judge, it wasn't that he was unjust only, but that he was hard-hearted, and didn't want to listen to this widow. Then what we must do is that once we get the principle of the parable, and that is not difficult, but once we get the principle of it, then we put the illustration aside. Put it aside. And think and concentrate on the principle. The principle is, it is one which we perhaps grapple with sometimes. Persistent prayer. This parable would suggest that persistence in prayer brings an answer. But what we have to be careful about is that we don't think that by persistence we will change the mind of God. Continuing and persisting in prayer is not an attempt to change the mind of God or to force the hand of God. Even when we persist in prayer, we still have to be submissive to God. Now, the loveliness about this parable is that inner persistence, even in the face of this unjust and hard man, that her persistence got its reply. And what is that? The principle would seem to be that if we persist in prayer, that we will change the mind of God. But we must never ever think that. Because we cannot change the mind of God. God is unchanging. With him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is the same all every day. Yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same from moment to moment and from second to second. There are no gaps in his consistency and in his constancy. And yet, this parable here encourages us to persist in prayer, to keep going in prayer, to not surrender in prayer, but to keep going and going and going and going. Now, it's not seeking to change the mind of God. But what does persistent prayer indicate? What is the prayer of faith? Is the prayer of faith the prayer, one prayer and an immediate answer? You might think that somebody like that must have great faith that their prayer has been answered like that. No, that is not the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is prayer goes on and on and on. Now, the thing is simple. That this is a prayer of faith when it is long-term prayer. Compare the one who wants a quick answer and compare with the parent or grandparent who has prayed and prayed for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 60 years. Which is the prayer of faith? Is it the one who gets this quick answer? No. This is the prayer of faith. Prayer that goes on for 60 years and is still going on. And many a parent and grandparent has experienced that. Do we know how long our own parents and grandparents have prayed for us? We do not know. But we know that the prayers were answered if we are enabled to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, perhaps some prayed and prayed and prayed, prayed even on their deathbed. Prayed, as it were, through their deathbed, and did not get an answer. But that does not mean that prayer was answered. So many of these prayers have been answered after the parent or grandparent has passed away. So, if we pray for loved ones, we don't stop. If God lays on our heart something for persistent prayer, then we must just keep going. No surrender. No fainting. But keep going at it. Whether it's morning, noon, or night, as Daniel was, or whatever, the thing is, to keep going and keep praying and to believe that God answers prayer, to have faith in the promise of God that He will answer according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And there are few Christian parents who have not come through something like that in their lives. Well, reading verse 7. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? Why would He bear long with them? Because they exercise their faith. He bears long with them. He keeps them waiting a long time. But it says, He will answer. Will He not avenge His own elect? Will He not answer their prayer? Of course He will not tell you, He says, that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Now that's quite a difficult one. It's a verse which, to me, just indicates that what a great thing it would be if the Lord came and we were found praying. Praying the prayer of faith and the Lord cometh, what will he find you doing? Good to be in the place of duty, yes, but better still to be in the place of prayer. So, what about those who have been prayed for and who know they've been prayed for? What about those who have prayed persistently and refused to surrender? I wonder if you are among those. I wonder if you know that you are in that number. But parents, grandparents have prayed and prayed and prayed persistently and perhaps passed away from this life. Pray persistently. Well, you are a privilege. Are you going to answer that prayer? Are you going to bow the knee before Jesus Christ? Are you going to receive his great salvation? Are you going to fulfill the prayer of those who prayed for you? Let us pray. Our gracious God, pray that thou wilt bless to us our meditation. O Lord, that thou wilt help us to pray and not to faint. Help us to persevere in prayer. Help us to pray without end, without refusing, without giving in. O Lord, help us. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.